Hello and welcome to the Tech on Toast podcast. My name's Chris Fletcher and I'm your host. Tech on Toast exists to connect hospitality to technology. Search for your best problem-solving tech on our marketplace, listen to both operators and tech experts on our podcast, or just meet up with the brilliant people who are helping innovate the hospitality industry as we enter a new era. Welcome to Tech on Toast. The Tech on Toast podcast is brought today by Point One. Point One offers the complete EPOS system for your hospitality business. From mobile order and pay and self-serve kiosks to restaurant and kitchen management, Point One has the solution. Head over to their website today to find out more and get in touch with their experienced team. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the next episode of the Tech on Toast podcast. And this week, I'm not sure if I'm excited or scared, but I've got Adam Foreman, founder and director at Support Wizard and Captive Wi-Fi. Adam, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
You're freaking me out. He's gone all weird on me. Adam and me talking normally takes a couple of days just to talk about one small thing. So we're both being really measured today, and we're going to do this podcast in half an hour.
I think you've actually slowed your voice down as well.
Yeah, but you're...
Because I'm helping you.
Yeah, you're really... Yeah. It's really
bothering. It's my therapy.
So before we get into it, if you don't know Adam, and you haven't met him on the hospitality circuit over the last 20 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam, who are you?
I am the founder of Support Wizard and Captive Wi-Fi. It's an interesting story. I don't know how long we have.
But I've told you, half an hour. You're on the clock.
Feel free. I'll do the highlights.
It is interesting, actually. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Thanks. I went to uni, did IT, and left uni, went to work for a company called Capgemini. Nice big IT company, internal support stuff. And as you're young, clubbing and partying, have lots of fun. Yeah, we were partying like most days, but working really late, and I managed to get myself a VIP access to a nightclub.
Nice.
In Leicester Square.
Any particular nightclub?
It was called Red Cube. It was very swanky. Poncy.
Sounds like my people.
You'd love it. We turned up at the nightclub with all my friends, and the bouncer looked at us and looked down and said, "Have a safe journey home." So very embarrassed. We all went to Strawberry Moons and had a great party and great night.
Also
I vowed that day that I would not be turned away from a nightclub again. So I set up a website, and because I was working for an IT company, lots of people I was with were developers and designers. When you leave uni, you just want to go onto some form of desk where you can make some easy money.
Yeah.
So I sort of utilized their skills, and we built a site, and Club Wizard was born, which is different to Support Wizard and Captive Wi-Fi. I'll get there. Don't worry.
Sounds like a messy audience, but yeah.
And so we created a review website. This is before Facebook, so showing my age. And we would go out to all the clubs in London, take photos and hand out cards, and the cards would say, "We've taken your shot because we think you're hot."
Wow.
Which actually...
Can't do that now, Adam.
No, not at all. Not at all. Well, I probably could.
I'm not sure that's changed for the best.
I don't know.
I mean, quite like it if I had a card saying I was hot.
Rather than just...
highly unlikely. But
rather than some app telling you that someone's behind you and they like you.
Yeah, they've just swiped you. Yeah.
And so we built the website. It got really busy. 2.9 million page impressions a month, 150,000 subscribers on our newsletter. We were doing events and guest lists across London, and this is before Facebook, when anyone could get access to a nightclub. So it was pretty awesome. We ran parties for from 2000 to 2007. And did some corporate events. Funny enough, we actually did the X Factor rap party for 10 years straight.
I was trying to wonder how you're going to segue into the fact that I was talking about doing voiceover work, and you were going to introduce me to the guy from the X Factor.
Well, I don't know him that well, but I do know him, Peter Dixon. He's got an awesome voiceover
company. Adam Foreman!
Exactly. Yeah. I won't do it, but that was pretty good.
Thanks.
But I'll do the intro after for you.
Good, thanks.
Give me some pointers. One of the nightclubs we were working for, funnily enough, events, was one of the ones that turned us away in the beginning that started this whole journey.
Sicula.
And she said to me, "Adam, you keep fixing our IT, but you do events. And I said, I'm not the IT guy, I'm the party guy. We do a party, we do events, you know, it's much more fun. Don't do this anymore. At that point, I'd quit my IT job and did it full time. Thanks to my mum who said, come home and don't pay rent, which my wife still hates to this day.
What, you still live with your mum?
Yeah, no. She lives down the road now, actually.
I can understand your wife not enjoying that.
And I digress. She said to me, we're paying our IT guy in vodka. He gets a free table and gets a free couple of bottles of vodka, and he sort of does our IT. We don't pay you, but you sort of do our IT and you do our events. You're making us money. Can I just pay you to do IT? And I was like, sure, let's be a bit grown up now, getting a bit older. Yeah. I've done more of this. This is halfway through the events journey of the website and stuff. So that's when that night Support Wizard began its journey as a division of Club Wizard. So and I started doing that, and
still getting paid in vodka now, or
yeah, absolutely. And so we transitioned.
Anyone listening, cancel your invoices.
We transitioned away from the nightclubs because they're always a challenge to work with nightclub owners, as you can imagine. And we the restaurant that we were working with, or club that we were working with, built a hotel, built three more restaurants. And as the industry is, and as you've mentioned many times, it's about referrals and recommendations, and it sort of exploded from there. The one nice piece, an interesting piece of the nightclub with the hotel, is one of their investors became our first IT client, which was a 30-man office in Soho that also happened to be the management company behind Iron Maiden. So, which was nice. So,
I'm just going to name drop all the way through this.
All the way through. And so that became our biggest client. And I didn't really need to do any more events because we had, you know, good couple of restaurants, some good IT clients, friends of mine that have set their own businesses up and needed IT help. And
did you want to grow it, or was it just at that time you just enjoying the fact that you had this business had kind of appeared?
I think the last party I did was Coco in Camden, Christmas Eve, for 1,500 people. And 3 days later, my first child was born. So it's sort of a bit of a growing up period, really. I had IT clients. Facebook had just killed the website because no one really wanted to see our photos every Monday of the parties. They just uploaded themselves. So it was sort of a natural progression. Then because I do like IT and it's my bag, and I understand service because of the events and being behind, you know, I've been behind the bar and we're sitting with managers and listening to moans and groans. We got how hospitality works, and hospitality IT is very different.
I was talking about optics to someone earlier today, actually, about hospitality optics. And I would say that, and I'm not putting a blanket across the whole tech space, but I think that there's a lack of that potentially within the tech space, and I think they would like that, or the desire to have that optic to be able to and really talk the language of the hospitality operators. I know everyone's trying hard; they produce lots of content, all that kind of stuff. But it's important, isn't it, to understand?
I think also the
more than understand.
I think it's a visibility, right?
Yeah.
So people, there's a massive disconnect between general IT companies and POS. And tech and hospitality tech. So you've got, on one hand, you've got this IT company that's okay, that understands that you are a restaurant and we provide you internet.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the tech stack which sits on the other side, which is from pods to now, order at table, QR, and there's a huge selection. And what we found in the past, it's very much like a blame culture of, it's not my fault, and then the pause, it's not my fault. And then the manager's the one stuck in the middle of pulling his hair out because he can't trade, I can't sell, I can't trade, what do I do? Which is sort of where we come in. We've trained, there's nine of us now, I've trained the team to understand hospitality. We would never turn up at a restaurant at midday, right, changing your router now, everything's okay.
From every operator in the land, thank
you. Right. And, you know, we know when service is busy, we are in communication with the team, and we do a bit of triage as well. So if something's wrong with the POS, we investigate. If something's wrong with a printer.
You like the POS doctor, like that's William's title.
Yeah, we sat down together actually at an event and we reminisced. And I like William, he's awesome. But yeah, I'm the junior POS doctor, let's just
say.
That's
William Connors, sorry. From the Noble Group. But yes,
the POS doctor. So we basically bridge the gap. So we plug WhatsApp into the platform now. So, you know, managed in hospitality, everyone likes a bit of WhatsApp. So this doesn't work, photo.
Why not? Another WhatsApp group. Another day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we can't be added to a group, which is nice. And you can't video call us, which is even nicer. So you can send a message.
Face for radio, that's what my mum told me.
So Yeah, we built that, and then recommendation. We work with a lot of QSRs. We get referrals from POS companies,
and what do you physically do? So, I mean, if I'm listening in, and I'm an operator of 4 or 5 sites, let's start with Support Wizard. Yeah. What would Support Wizard do for me? As in, what would you manage on a daily basis?
The first thing we do, Chris, is bring you in to have a conversation about the tech stack.
Very good. Tick.
It's the holistic approach, so to understand what's there and what's not there.
Yeah.
So, and then give the customer visibility over everything and accountability. So we make sure that it's our responsibility to make sure things are working. We're not reactive, we're proactive. So if you have a restaurant with 3 floors and the basement goes offline, within 2 minutes, our team are aware of what's going on and trying to fix it before the restaurant manager even knows about it.
Yeah.
We're on the call saying, hey, this isn't working, or, you know,
noticed you're out.
Yeah, we're triaging what's going on, or to the point of this till's not working. We check it out. Actually, the till's working fine because we've logged into it remotely. Don't tell the POS companies. But we logged into it remotely and it's fine, but there's something wrong with the till server. It's not sending data through.
And that's in your nature, right? Because since I've met you, and this is not a selling Support Wizard statement, but you've constantly banged on at me, particularly about Atollo, about sorting out the way we're managing our security and our online presence and everything. And we've ignored you so far, haven't we? I think we listened a little bit last week.
You did listen, but yeah. I haven't sent the big email. So I think you're waiting for the big email for the discussion.
But I like that in suppliers when actually their go-to is just what they love. Mm. Because if you love it, then you tend to care about it more and you just give that little bit of extra. And that my impression, I think most people's impression of you is that you do love what you do.
I don't think I'd be happier anywhere else. I like the buzz. I like the new builds where we're in a project in the moment. Fiber companies delayed, you know, building builds delayed, and I love it. We're the ones that are saying, don't worry, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, let us take care of it. Or other clients where they've got brand new builds and we meet the builder, and or even POS companies, we do our install and we advise them to use that specific engineer that we know. Make sure you choose this engineer. And when they get there, we get the phone call. Thank you so much. what have we done? You've installed everything how it should be.
Yeah,
because more often than not, the engineers.
I've been there, right? I opened, I think, 70 sites for Carluccio's over that period of time, and funny enough, you guys always get kicked. You're the can that get kicked down the road by the builders, because obviously the builders will always, not always delay, but often there's delays for many reasons out of their control, and sometimes firmly in their control.
Yeah,
but you always find those poor guys on the last 48 hours are in there crawling under a desk somewhere trying to install POS or trying to
run
that cable through, get the infrastructure right, make sure it's in the right size station, not the left one, blah, 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 whatever it might be. So I kind of feel your engineer's pain at that point. It's one of those things that break. And Matt Grimshaw from Uda spoke to me ages ago, and he gave the scenario of your chicken going off in the fridge. I don't know if I told you this. So you open the fridge up, the chicken's gone off, and you're like, oh, and if the chicken's from Aldi, you're like, bloody Aldi chicken, always close to its date, chuck it in the bin. But if the chicken's from Marks and Spencer's, you're like, oh, the fridge must be broken. Yeah, no way Marks and Spencer's would let us down. And I think it's the same with IT, right, that often you guys get the blame, I think, for infrastructural issues or anything going on. But often it could be the POS, right, or it could be the online ordering, or it could be the workforce management platform. But
all the plugins.
Yeah. Do you find that a lot? Are you kind of
I'll be honest. Because we're friends with everyone, so when we call the POS company up, we'll be nice and friendly, and it's text talking to text.
Yeah.
So rather than a manager who's highly stressed and doesn't have the time or patience to speak to the POS company, he'll just scream and shout at them, till one's not working, get it fixed. Where we are calling them saying, okay, so there's nothing wrong with the network. The server's fine. Everything's up. There's something wrong with that till. And they look at it and they go, oh, thanks so much. I'll get that fixed for you. And it's fixed quickly.
It's that process, isn't it, that you guys will follow in a calm fashion, which I think operators struggle with sometimes.
All the time.
I know for a fact when I was in it, if the till broke, and we call it a till, right? We still call it. If that broke, and in our sense broke, it means it just did what I pressed.
Yeah.
That button press didn't work. It's often a configuration we'd done the day before, or if it's something that happened from an update or whatever it might be. Yeah.
The interesting piece is that casual dining, which is your bag, it's very different.
It's not all on me.
Oh, no, I know. but it's very different to QSR. So when we started to do more QSR stuff, the urgency is so high.
Yeah, tell me, what is the big difference in those two? Obviously, I know the difference.
So, you know, if you have a restaurant with seven tills, one till goes down, big deal. You've got other tills to work from, right? And back in the day with order tablet. I mean, even now with order tablets, you know, that's fine. You can carry on going. But if you've got QSR with four tills, or kiosks, for example, and the kiosk break or one of the tills break. We used to work with Chilango, who were bought out by Tortilla. There's still, I think, one or two left. And they had a site in King William Street. And I think they had five tills, and they managed to do something like 1,000 burritos an hour, which is just mental. But and you can imagine if one or two tills or there was a delay, it would be crippling.
Because QSR is like a factory line, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to dismiss what they do in terms of product, but it's that efficiency.
Production line.
Efficiencies are huge. I remember Dub from Honest Burger talking to me ages ago about how hospitality needs to get to that point in efficiencies where you're looking at it almost like a car manufacturer. Mm. You're saying, right, the door has to go on now. And the same with, I mean, McDonald's been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
And
they're
doing it well. So look, you don't just manage Support Wizard. I try and log into my Wi-Fi, and where am I? I'm in BrewDog. And I met the lovely guys from Red Cat, Lawrence Pelletier. I think I said that right, Lawrence?
Yep.
And Lawrence had a great piece in his podcast. We talked about connection in the UK generally on Wi-Fi, and he said it was bloody shocking, in other words, in Australian terminology. And he said that actually in Australia, they don't really have sign-in Wi-Fi in restaurants because the connectivity is so good on their phones, they don't need it. Mm. So you come to the UK, and we just sat here before the podcast, tried to log into the Wi-Fi, and both kind of give up.
Yeah.
Are you seeing that? Is that common? I know why you built Captive Wi-Fi, but tell us a bit more about it, what the product is. But are you seeing that everywhere?
I think the main challenge is that the journey is so horrible. The guys that built the journey, the agency that built the journey for us, when we talked about it, he'd just come back from a hotel in Milan, and he sent me 17 screen grabs and said, "This was what I went." He literally, like with a cry, saying, "This is what I went through to buy some time."
But we still do it.
Yeah.
Like our patience as consumers is
my 13-year-old generally puts in something like hello, I'm a smellypoo.com into any Wi-Fi that she goes to, doesn't get verified, gets let on, and off she goes.
And I didn't even know that was you told me that last week. So I'll just put any email in.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I thought you had to put a proper .com.
Well,
no, just
well, with ours you do,
right?
But but not all others you don't. So we we were working with other partners after the pandemic. We worked with some really good food halls, Market Halls, Curve Sub and Dallas Market, and they said to us, switch the customer Wi-Fi back on. And I said, I've done it, and it didn't work. And we at that point didn't have a product. We just, you know, we were working with other partners, and. Yeah. It didn't work, and it was a box, and it just didn't work. So we, obviously, they're around the corner. Our office is in Great Portland Street, Fitzroy Square. So we ran down, and it just, it died. I don't know what it was. We don't have control over it. So we switched on the normal splash page for them, and the head of marketing just having a flip out saying, we're losing all this customer data. You know, we've been closed for 2 years. We need it now. So that prompted me, and I'm not a programmer. I did computer science and information management at university. I didn't choose a programming route, but I know a little bit of PHP, which is a programming language.
Thanks.
Yeah. I basically found a bit of code, a portal, a bit of splash pages, and knocked up something very basic. We use Ubiquiti for all our hardware, which is a network provider, a network distributor, manufacturer. And it's a pretty good kit, and has an API. And what's an API?
Application program interface.
There you go.
Oh my God, did I get that right?
You got that really good. That
Thank
was
you.
Good.
That's from the Tech on Toast glossary.
I remember. I was going to foray into the glossary. So it basically has a bolt-on that allows you to let people into the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So I got that, got a bit of code. Used a bit of Zapier. Zapier's a great tool. Lots of our clients use it to plug into Trail, to plug into, I think Workforce plugs into, I think most tools plug into Zapier. So so I plugged into Zapier and then added the data into MailChimp. And ba-ba-bum, it was working. Called a friend of mine who I've known for a very long time. We were in the same office space together. I said, is your developer still working for you? He goes, no, but you might have some spare time. So I called my friend, the developer, and I said, can you have a look at what I've done and make it better? So he looked at it and went, oh, it's not bad, a bit crap, you know, but it suits a purpose. And it was just hosted. We have a web server because if clients need hosting and stuff, it was running on there. So he created the dashboard. He created integrations, and obviously first thing we did was MailChimp and ActiveCampaign. And then I think four or five other clients were using Airship. We plugged in Airship, and then other clients were using others and built the dashboard more. And then the customer journey. So the really important piece with ours is the flow is a bit like Typeform. You get a Typeform form.
I love Typeform.
Which it's so pretty.
So good.
Yeah, and it's easy. And people don't mind. Once you've started that journey, you can ask a million questions and people will be like, oh, that was really
easy. It's intuitive and it's nice.
Someone gives you a form with 50 questions, you immediately like, I'm not going to do that now.
Weirdly, where we collect, sorry to interrupt you, but when we collect the data for the tech audits, we were doing it on Airtable.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was horrible. The journey for the customer was, they weren't filling it out because they couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
I just switched the Typeform, 100% success rate.
It's very interesting. It's the mentality.
It's mad, isn't it?
If you don't see the end, it's like you know, go to McDonald's, you've paid for the, like any hospitality venue, right? You go in, the Nando's method, you go in, you pay, and it's going to come to you. Your food will come to you. So this form, not that our form is huge and long. So we built a really nice customer journey. We built a very basic feedback platform that plugs into all of the, you know, all of them, like sentiment search, feedback, HTM.
Great product.
You don't have to use ours. You can use your own. You can even send the feedback. We send the email, but you can send the feedback into a Google form if you wanted to. We do the usual push 4 and 5 stars to Google and so on. And then we went on a hunt to do as many integrations as possible. So the next one was Como, which is a pretty awesome integration. That was our first one of designing a better journey. So really simply, connects to the Wi-Fi. Oh, and the other piece is there's an open source email verification platform that's out there, and people are wrapping up and charging money for it, which is really interesting. We saw one that they're charging, I think it was $1,000 for 500,000 email addresses.
Wow.
And I was like, that's really expensive. So obviously, did some more research, found the product, got it built, and we plug it in for free. So we don't charge. So we check for the domain. If you put a fake domain name, you won't get through. It will say, I'm really sorry, this email address.
Smelly poo doesn't work.
Smelly poo. I don't know. Someone's got the domain name. But yeah, so we do an MX check, which is the domain name. And then we do like a soft bounce within about a millisecond. So if you put in chris.t at techontoast.community, it would fail because that's not a real email address. So the domain is correct, but the email isn't. So when we turned it on, we had a couple of calls from clients saying, people are moaning that they can't go onto the Wi-Fi. And I said, what does it say on the page? And they go, oh, yeah, it says incorrect. And they looked at the customer and they went, I'm so sorry, we don't allow incorrect email addresses. And since then, it's been fine. So
that's great as well, because actually, as a customer, if you don't want to give that, don't give it. No. And you don't go on the Wi-Fi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you don't have to opt into marketing. You can say no.
Yeah.
And it's all there, very clear. And it will remember you. So, yeah, anyway, so the next journey, really, the two pieces were really important was connect to the Wi-Fi. We soft verify you.
Yeah.
We plug into the CRM platform. We activate you as a opt-in member if you've opted in. And then the loyalty piece. So what we did was is that you connect to the Wi-Fi. We activate you as a loyalty member in Piggy. We then display we then at the landing page, which is a really big piece of what we've built. Most companies who do what we do just redirect you to Instagram. And there's about a 3% uptake on there. You might get 3% or 2% or 1% of people going.
That's what they do here.
I had a customer of mine the other day when we used to do it. 6-year-old lady was screaming at the manager. Well, not screaming, but getting upset that her phone was redirected to Instagram, and she doesn't like Instagram.
So it's also not very the Instagram thing. It's not. It's kind of like.
Yeah. What am I doing for you? No. What am I doing for you? Like, so even like here.
Yeah, that's what Brewdog, they do here. I love Brewdog.
They redirect them to just their website.
No, I think. It is the website. Yeah. It is website.
But I mean, in the past, it was like a redirect to and something else.
Yes.
But now it's changed just to the website. But there's no like welcome to Brewdog Waterloo or
that's what and I think now people are expecting a bit more personalization.
100%.
You don't have to personalize as in for Chris do this now, but at least for my group or for
coming, Chris.
Oh, that day part. I knew it would be. But yeah, I think it's not lazy. It's just I think we've got to try harder in terms of because Wi-Fi here's crap. As in just generally in the UK,
the whole functionality pieces. Yeah. And so because I understand hospitality and I understand tech. And all the bits in between. we wanted to try and build something a bit more functional. So that landing page now, and rather than going to Instagram or Facebook or putting it to a website or Linktree. I mean, Gaucho goes to Linktree. We work with the Virgo Co. They're a great brand.
Yeah, very cool.
I love their product. And the team behind it are awesome. So I've just used their logo for the moment on this one. But this one basically shows you your points and lets you download your wallet on the fly. So the landing page shows the socials, you know, Instagram, yeah. Twitter, Facebook at the top. Allows you to display a promo ad. So if there's something important going on, like, hey, yeah. like here, for example.
Christmas menu, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Or if there's a Wing Wednesdays, and on a Wednesday, you're like, I want to show this,
yeah.
you know, or an order button. And then underneath that, as you'll see in here, there's a couple of different buttons. One story takes you to the website, tells you about the venue and information. The other one is order, which I'll talk about in a second. And then what was the last one? The last one is menu. So we link you straight to the menu. So you're sitting there waiting.
That's what I mean, more thoughtful.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we have a feedback button if you wanted to give feedback straight away, but generally don't recommend putting feedback immediately because the sentiment is you need to let it sit in for a bit, right? Yeah. So the order button allows us to add a table number. So we're actually speaking to a couple of different reservation partners, platforms at the moment, and the main challenge with that is, so on the customer journey, you get email address, name, surname, and table number. So the table number for us at the moment, when you go to press order, it takes you straight to your table number.
Very cool.
So you don't need to scan a QR code. You can
sit there going, I'm number 190. Yeah. So
Tech on Toast is pleased to announce that HRC Hotel, Restaurant and Catering is returning to London on the 25th to the 27th of March, 2024 at the XL. Discover game-changing trends, network with industry leaders, and explore cutting-edge solutions that will elevate your business. Mark your calendars for an unforgettable experience at HRC, as this is where the future of hospitality unfolds. Don't miss out. To find out more, check out the website, www.hrc.co.uk. Back to the chatting.
I was in Lightspeed head office the other day, one of the sales guys goes, and I can't do his American accent, but he was like, you've blown my mind. Do you mean I can walk into a QSR restaurant with no kiosks and just scan and just connect to the Wi-Fi and then order? And I was like, yeah, we can, that's fine. He said, that's amazing. He goes, can you imagine walking into like a nice place with like no kiosks and all you have to do is connect to the Wi-Fi and press the button on your phone to order and you can do it straight away? He goes, they'll be saving thousands on kiosks and stuff. And I was like, thanks, okay. So you can push us out to all your other customers. But anyway, so that's one piece. But the other piece is for our casual dining customers. So right now you've got CRM, great. You've got MailChimp or Piggy or whatever it might be. The data goes in there. But when someone connects to the Wi-Fi and we've just finished this integration, which is pretty cool. When you book a table at a casual dining restaurant, it's you and five other people. Well, if you connect to the Wi-Fi, they know that five other people have been, great, and that goes into your CRM, fantastic. But it doesn't go into your REST platform. So that I find the interesting piece is you've got marketing here and they look after marketing.
Yeah.
And then you've got the reservations team here.
Yeah.
But there's complete disconnect. They don't speak to each other.
It's bizarre. It's the same bloody thing.
Yeah. And they're both dealing with the same people and looking after the same people. But reservations need to have that piece of, oh, hold on, Chris came last Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we've worked with Sunday in Brooklyn, which is where you had one of our events.
Yes.
Who will have to also have Toast, but we do the IT and the Wi-Fi, funnily enough. And they use Seven Rooms, and they said, we want to use Seven Rooms for everything. So we built a Seven Rooms integration. So when someone connects to customer Wi-Fi, they're added in to the reservations platform.
Love it.
As a customer and opted in. So, I mean, obviously Seven Rooms now has the email marketing platform, which actually is pretty good. And obviously they can respond to reviews and so on. So they're building that side of the platform. But the next stage is to add the person to the reservation. Because we can do the table number drop down. Imagine adding you to table number 7.
Seamless.
And then if you were spending lots of money on table number 7, they then will add you to a VIP. So these little pieces of nuggets, which are really important.
I call it like joining the dots, isn't it? It's because I was about to come to this question, actually, that me and you end up on a lot of calls to do with tech stacks, generally just me and you, sometimes with customers, but talking about the right tech stack, what it should look like. And the answer is that, in my world, that there isn't a right answer, that there's potentially something for everyone. That's why there are so many suppliers, because there is nuances that fit there. What do you think? Because you offer tech support, obviously. That's what Support Wizard does, and then Captive on the other side. But actually, you end up kind of quoting on a lot, but commenting on a lot and actually giving advice.
I find it really interesting because one of the pieces that we do is I don't have the operational knowledge as you do, but we've seen a lot, right, over the years. Yeah. So
trust me, I didn't do a lot, most in the office.
I'll come to that. The interesting piece is we wrap in consultancy into IT support. So it's not really just IT support. I spoke to Yoke, one of our other clients the other day, their marketing director. Well, I was on the phone for like an hour and a half talking about.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Well, interesting. So it wasn't just about operational stuff. It was about tech as well as POS and as well as marketing. Yeah. It was a whole shebang. And
which I think is needed. That's the one thing I bang on about, that whoever's got time, whoever wants to make money from it, whatever. But like, someone just needs to join those dots in between.
Everyone is struggling.
Procurement.
Everyone is struggling.
The understanding of it, the data flow, the integration, everything, the customer facing part.
I think the most important thing at the moment everyone is asking is, I know that Chris comes in at 7 in the morning and has his bacon bap. And I want to email him. I want to send him a text message at 6 in the morning saying, hey, Chris.
Looking forward to seeing you.
You can't wait to see you. Click this button and your bacon bap will be ready for you at 7. You know, and have a free coffee on us. Do you know what I mean? And just to get to know who these people are. So to the point of connecting, like we're doing some work with Black Sheep Coffee at the moment and with Como. And to find a way of, well, if someone connects to the Wi-Fi, let's only give them an hour. And if they're there for an hour, let them reconnect to the Wi-Fi. And then use the Como CRM to fire an alert or a push notification. Hey, do you want something else? So these things that no one else is doing in regards to just trying to get the customer more business, integrate into more things. You know, we're trying to work on more and more integrations.
Do you think loyalty in the CRM side is probably the biggest
massive
thing that's the disconnect? We did the brunch here, remember, on it a while ago, and we had Sarah from BrewDog talking to you. And even BrewDog, right? They're huge global. Yeah. Bars, right? But they still have a very manual process around. I mean, I know they're changing it, but
interesting pieces is people don't mind wallets.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing with a wallet is, and I'm not a wallet provider, we don't do it, but we work with others that do. You can send push notifications.
Yeah.
So I've got a new burger. You
get them all the time from Tesco.
Yeah. Exactly. As you walk past. Yeah. To be fair, if you walk past a Waitrose or a Tesco,
and the Tesco app is ace.
Yeah.
Love it.
And the interesting piece is that if you have a new baguette launching. And you send an email out, your opt-in rate, your open rate is going to be X amount. But 90% of people will look at their phone and go, oh, you know. And if you can push to a link, you show your QR codes, you can not only geolocate, which means if you're 50 meters away from the location, you can send a push. So one of my clients went, I walk past Waitrose every day. I was like, oh, good for you. And so I walk past Waitrose every day, and it pops a message on my phone saying, hey, do you need any shopping?
And McDonald's and Tesco are the best at it. McDonald's one, I get literally pinged. There's this one bloody McDonald's near my kids, which they all frequent. And for some reason, my phone, every time I go within 50 meters, it was like, Chris, come and get fat.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a McDonald's.
But it works. But it works, all right? But it works.
Yeah, no, it's the digital wallet I like, because it's like a billboard in your hand. You kind of like, it's in your mind's eye all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're on an app, you kind of, once you've closed the app and sent it away, you're not going to see it again until you open it again. Mm. Whereas the wallet, you're going in to pay every day. 10 times a day, 11 times, you know, how many times you click and you get in the tube.
I think the interesting piece as well is Adyen, who Vita use, Lightspeed, everyone uses Adyen now. They have an API where you can actually do some really fun stuff with it, or a connection piece, where you can do really fun stuff where if you've got the wallet in your part and you go to pay with your credit card, you can tell the Adyen platform to scan for wallets. So I think this is all going to come really soon. So watch this space. No, I'm not developing it.
Love that.
But when you scan and you see you have £5 off, it will remove the £5 from the transaction and then send the request into whichever loyalty platform you have. And that's a game changer because, yes, they've got the wallet and you need a wallet to do it. But wouldn't that be nice? Turning up, going on, boom, doing... You know, I always forget to scan.
Yeah, of course you do.
Some platforms are really long keys. Some providers don't want to buy additional... scanners. It's all. So
my wife still has the bloody thing on her car keys. You know the.
So does mine.
It's now
like flexible as a piece of paper.
I just put it on your phone.
Yeah.
You can just double click, scan, go home.
I think it's really interesting. You mentioned Red Cap, and when I spoke to them, he's the reason why I got my funky little thing on my phone here. That one there. My little NFC tag. So he, after he left, he just waved his business card over my phone and it just popped up with his contacts. I was blown away because I like tech. Off. So I was like, I need that now. So I now have it. So he was talking about tech and talking about everything and connectivity and it was just I was blown away with their tech. With everything. It's very interesting. And they're more, I think they're quite enterprisey, but it's really interesting, like really interesting.
So he told me a story, I forget it now, about if you listen to the podcast towards the end of the podcast, he talks about an Australian brand and the journey of the food actually from order point all the way through.
I tell you that, I remember off by heart. I was talking to a client the other day and I said, have you heard about, it's delivered by Google. It's not Google Deliver, so you need to be careful.
Okay, I'll make sure.
So delivered by Google. And I said,
do I get in trouble if I say it wrong?
Might do. I don't know. Uber will never come here. We have a couple of clients in Canada, which is pretty cool. And we've got about 20, 30 clients in the US now. We're covered for global, which is great. So we're not just UK.
You can tick global.
Yeah, we're doing a trial at the moment in a couple of venues in Ontario. We are benefited to have a client which is called Trotter Mate. So we have them here and in Miami and in San Francisco when they open. And our platform really works with them really well. Mobile tariff is really expensive over there. Anyway, so I was asking him about it because it's already over there. And it's already in Australia, but it's just launched here, the delivered by Google. Yeah. So how their journey works, which I find absolutely awesomely interesting, there's no delivery integration, right? So it's just you place your order online. So you go onto Google, you type in, I don't know, Bill's Burgers, you choose your burger, and it pops up on Google. You're like, right, I feel safe because it's Google.
Yep.
You order it, it goes into their platform. Their platform then queries how long it's going to take because obviously it's same stock control, same make line and so on. So it goes, right, this is going to take 7 minutes to make. I'm going to book a driver for this time. Let's have a look. Oh, hold on. Uber Direct, DoorDash, Just Eat Direct or whatever the rest is out there. It will then...
They auction it, don't they?
Yeah, so whichever's cheaper, it will grab it. And then you can add your own in apparently as well. If one fails, it will automatically do the next one. Now, the winning piece of what he mentioned in your podcast was... If once it's made, it gets sat there. There's a QR code for whoever to scan, whether it be the expediter or the collection guy. If it's a couple of minutes late or 5 minutes late and it's not been collected, it immediately goes back onto the KDS for a refire. So then it goes and that gets taken away, gets wastage. New one comes out, boom, done. And I thought that piece...
Who pays for the wastage?
Obviously, they do, but realistically, cost of you know, what would you
cost
rather
of
send?
The customer.
Yeah, what would you rather send? I mean, how often have you had?
At what point in my career are you asking me this question?
Now,
I would never do that. No. But
think about it. If you get a cold burger, cold fries, I'm not ordering from them.
Well, you're not only in the wind, but you're probably leaving a poor review.
And not even that, you'll take a picture of it on Uber or Deliveroo, and 60% of the time, you'll get a refund.
Yeah.
So the restaurant gets nothing.
Apart from the kudos, if they do it right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that piece is interesting. So I'm interested to see, listen, I'm like you, I love tech. I love the new stuff happening. Lawrence also said, if you don't have a QR code in Australia on a table, they'll scream at you. Because before COVID, they had QR codes.
Yeah, they're ahead.
And they were, so they're about, a year and a half ahead of us, I guess?
Yeah.
And here, you have a QR code. People look at it, either they'll look at like... You know, I don't need this. Why would I scan this? You know, because they know someone from BrewDog's going to come up with a smiley face and go, "Hey, do you want to order some drinks?"
Yeah, Emily, she's lush.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's interesting. I was at a client the other day, and I walked in, and they've got four kiosks, and it was a queue, and it was a queue of like 15 people, and they were busy, and I looked at it going, "Why isn't?" Hold on. And I looked at my phone. I connected to our Wi-Fi's on there. I connected to our Wi-Fi. I pressed the order button on our Wi-Fi. There's no table number. Went straight to the online ordering platform. I ordered, sat down. I just sat outside. And they went, Adam. And literally, the people still queuing. And I managed to get
my food. That's because we're trained, you know, and that's why...
But it's education, though. No, don't you think that if you educate everyone to say
that's why you're connect, here today. That's what we're doing.
And say that's the whole piece of what you do.
And I think it's interesting that we are so brainwashed in the way we do things. I was talking to Lightspeed earlier today about payments. Now they're they're taking payments.
Oh, that payment system looks awesome.
Yeah, and it's interesting because everyone's up in arms about it. Some of their customers are saying something, some of the potential customers are talking about it. But the reality is, it makes sense, right? To do for a POS provider to do payments. And if you can get, you're the operator, you're the one in charge, right?
Yeah.
If you can say, look, I want to go negotiate this deal, you do it. But what I think is exciting is the innovation potentially over the next. Look where we've come from. Mm. I mean, Mike said it in the interview, he said, I think it's 2007 or 2005, the first iPhone.
Mm.
I mean, that's not long ago.
Mm.
And look where it's at now.
Well, if you probably go back further, think about the first app to order. Who did the first ordering app?
Zonal was one of the first people
in the country.
Kudos to Zonal.
I know. And Weatherspoons. One of my guys left the office. This is, I don't know how many years ago. It was so long ago. This is before people had kiosks, before all this tech was there. We went to the Weatherspoons on Tottenham Court Road. I sat down on a table. The bar was absolutely rammed. And there was a little sign saying, download our app. And I was like, it's not going to work. And I ordered drinks for all of us and some food. And this woman just came and plonked on our table. And that was like one of the first iterations.
So we were always, I think operators were always looking, where they were the best at fixing problems. I mean, if operators could develop code, could write code, the tech would be fixed, finished. But they can't. But I think they're great problem solvers. And it's like people like JB, right, who works here at Brewdog. He's built Tipjob purely out of the fact that he was, wanted to fix a problem. That's what operators do.
But the other piece of that is integrated into loads of other systems. So it's not other people who want to use it rather than, because it used to be just a box, right? At the bar, and people look at it and go, I'm not sure, what is that? And now it's plugged into everything and branding's on point.
So really, I just want to talk about what's going on for you in the future, because you've got captive Wi-Fi.
Yes.
Support Wizard, which is now a legacy of yours. It's going to be around forever, right?
Yeah,
forever. That's a safe, lovely business.
My co-director, we during COVID, obviously, like everyone, struggled, right?
Yeah.
And we lost tons of money, but we had our reserves and we kept our team all the way through, looked after them. And when we were ready to switch back on, we still had QSRs open. But that enabled us to restructure and reconfigure. So back in the day, you'd call me, Adam, I'm opening a restaurant, and I'd be like, you need to have on-site included because you need to come once a month. And you'd be like, okay. And then I'd give you more. I'd start giving you free advice and all this sort of stuff for nothing, and showing value because I believed that you needed to believe that I knew what I knew. We removed all the on-site included. We had to employ more staff before COVID just to cover.
Yeah,
we had Blackship Coffee. We're on 12 sites to 45.
Yeah,
you can imagine how strange you need to have people running around.
Yeah, but I think people often, when they build a business, if you're a good human, you kind of want to prove your worth anyway. But beyond charging people and all that kind of stuff, you want to add value, don't you? Which is what you were doing.
I think the main challenge is that once you've spoken to someone, you gauge that conversation within the first 30 seconds, what they know what they're talking about.
I'm a proper gut person. Right? Exactly. When I meet someone for like 30 seconds.
But not only that, when someone meets you, you're immediately like, blah, 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 blah. Like, this is not that fast. Maybe sometimes that fast.
Similar.
But, and they go, oh God, he knows, actually, he knows everything I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So we changed. We removed all the on-site included for all our clients. We changed the system. We changed the solution. We let people buy minutes during COVID as well, which we still do now. So I have a client of ours that I've had for 15, 20 years. He used to have restaurants and clubs. And now he's got a couple of restaurants here and there, but sits on top of it. And if he needs support, he goes, Adam, I love this. I can buy 15 minutes.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is nice. So Support Wizard is growing, which is great, organically. We work with consultants like yourself and others when they like, Adam, I'm bringing over a brand from Dubai. They want to do this. I'm bringing a brand over.
Yeah, can you send me the other way, please?
Yeah, with pleasure. Up into Dubai. Yeah, that's right. In the US.
Yeah, anywhere but Cardiff.
So don't know where the accent's from, though.
No. Liverpool.
So Captive Wi-Fi is progressing. Our list of development is awesome. We have nearly finished Patronix, which is great.
Let me ask you that, actually. So in 12 months' time, Captive Wi-Fi, because you've done it really nicely, haven't you? You've been baby steps all the way through. If I could fast forward 12 months, where would you like it to be? How many locations?
I want world domination. I mean, we a colleague of mine has an outbound sales company. He's awesome, and he's just started with us this month. So they are all out offense into, and because it's a colleague of mine, and I've been talking to about captive Wi-Fi for ages. He's like, look, I do this as well, not captive Wi-Fi, but and so he basically his team are all out of assault for us. So in the next couple of months, it's going to be, you know, there's going to be decks flying everywhere and that sort of stuff. So, and also because I haven't mentioned this as well, we're cloud-based. So most people nowadays, when they go buy an access point from Broadband Buyer or Amazon, yep, it's a cloud-based one and it has a control panel and you don't have to have an IT company to manage it. We did a demo for Truffle Burger, awesome burgers, by the way. And they had a site and I looked up in the ceiling and I went, oh, you've got an Aruba access point. And he went, do I? And I went, yeah. He goes,
did he inherit it off Honest? Is it?
Yes.
One of, yeah, he
yes.
did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, 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 he's got some of those old sites.
And he said, look, just put me in touch with the IT guys. I said, use my captive Wi-Fi email. They put me in touch with, like, I think security and AV and IT guys. And I gave them three lines of things to do. And within 30 seconds, it was active.
Wow.
Same with the company found us in just outside the US. They've got about 45 hotels. And I think we're in about 10 now. And they use Ubiquiti. So he called me, he messaged me saying, this is what we've got. He goes, do you need this in a box and all this sort of jazz? Yeah. I said, no. I said, give me 30 seconds, give me the login. And he goes, what do you mean? But you're in the UK. So the cloud-based thing is really important.
You should put that on your website. Give me 30 seconds, I'll give you the world.
Yeah, that's a really good one, actually. I'd love to have more integrations, especially for the res. So res diaries on the
that's the build, right, isn't it? That's where you've got to go. You've got to spread your reach.
So there is the next project, which we now have go-ahead from funds, which is it's called Table Ready. So that's my new project, tableready.io. And thanks to ChatGPT, I asked it to give me a name of a company that didn't ever exist. I digress. Table Ready is a really good product. The missing piece in between restaurant reservations and the venue itself. We have one client who's like, I wanted yesterday. I spoke to another client about 3 months ago who said, if I had this at my last job, I'd be crying. So the challenging piece right now is you have a reservations platform and you have your res app. But yeah, the bit in between is completely missing. So how many people booked your table on a Monday? Oh, 30. 30 people booked our table on Monday. No, but how many people tried it? How many people went on the website? Oh, I've got a Google Analytics. So I know that like 150 people clicked the button. But where in the journey did they leave? Right? So, and they're like, I don't know. So can you call the res company and ask them? No, they won't give us any information.
Very cool.
So like Uber and Deliveroo, these powerhouse res companies keep the information in-house.
They own their data.
Exactly, they own their data. So and there's APIs now, right? So most have APIs, some charge, some don't. We've got some APIs already built for other platforms, so we're doing one at the moment. And so the other challenge piece is the widget. You know how that lovely widget, doesn't look very nice.
No.
So, and it's a bit clunky, not built by hospitality people or even an agency. So we have developed a really nice booking widget that's customizable and colorful and so on. You can slide in, you can pop up, you can do what you like.
When is Table Ready going to be ready?
Exactly, when it's going to be ready. So it's currently in dev at the moment. I reckon probably Q1 or probably towards the end of Q1, maybe even earlier. I want it out yesterday, so it all depends. So this is the analytics, and there's more features and more nuggets. I'll go into it another time on our next podcast. We can talk about it, but when it's ready, I can show you a live demo.
It's going to be like a season of Adam.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, okay, sounds good.
Well, I think you do need a little every so often.
Of course. I mean,
talk tech
powered by Support Wizard. Oh, yeah. We could talk tech. Yeah,
yeah. Because that's important, cybersecurity.
Well, look, it's brilliant, and I think your background is littered with fun stuff. I think, especially as you grew into the industry, I think it's really interesting your journey here. And how do people? So let's start with Support Wizard.
Yeah.
If they want to get hold of you, how do they get hold of you?
They can just go on our website and click on the form. They can email adam@supportwizard.net, or they can. We've got a WhatsApp number, but I don't know what it is.
Can they stalk you on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'm fully on LinkedIn. We've written some really nice articles on LinkedIn about what we do.
I like them every week. Sites.
Thank you.
I'm a loyal.
I like your newsletters too.
Thank you.
I haven't done a newsletter yet, so I'm afraid.
Sure it's coming. That'll be the next software. And what about Captive Wi-Fi? Same thing.
So yeah, Captive Wi-Fi is adam@captivewifi.io.
And is there a venue people can go in and check out your work?
Yeah. So we're in a couple of different places, some market halls, all of them across London.
So if I nip over there for my tea and log in.
Yeah, Chota Mate has probably the nicest splash page that we have with video and entry, which is really nice. Blackship Coffee in Southwark has our first...
That's right by me.
There you go. You can pop in and have a look at the how many points you have.
I think it's cool for people to reference it rather than me say,
It's interesting because I speak to people and they go, I'm sure... I saw your like splash page in like an article or whatever, yeah. And then they were like, I used your Wi-Fi the other day. Like, it was actually quite nice. And I was like, oh, that's actually, no one ever says that. No one says that.
No, no one says your Wi-Fi is nice.
No,
that's
right?
Weird.
So, and Paris Baguette as well. So, yeah, they're, listen.
Shout out to Nico.
Yeah, I mean, that product is awesome. I had lunch the other day. Just
their cake is light as a feather. We've been quite restrained.
Yeah.
We've done well.
I think the speed of my voice has also been a bit all right.
Yeah, you've sped up towards the end, which is just me trying to...
Yeah.
But that's great. Look, that was Adam Foreman, everybody. He is the founder of Support Wizard and Captive Wi-Fi and soon to be tableready.io. Mm-hmm. So keep your eye on him. It's some interesting stuff to come. Thanks very much for coming in. Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye.
Oh, no, he did the waving.
Yeah. We've got to do waves like on Zoom, right?
Cheers.
Thanks.